All right. By the way, this is Pasuk Hey. Lama Beis. So, Chazal say that this parsha is a parsha which has all the basic ideas, the concepts of anti-Semitism. So one of the Tanaim when he used to go to visit before he used to go to Rome, he used to learn over this parsha. Because if you learn the parsha well, you see all the ideas of Sinas Esav Yaakov, and how to deal with it, exactly what to do, the best way to overcome it. Because Yaakov worked it out with mathematical precision, exactly how to deal with Esav, with the mincha, how much of a gap should be between the presence, and how to speak with him. If you go through the parsha carefully, if every word was measured, exactly what to say, which emotion to bring out, which emotion to avoid, in order that Esav should be merachem. So really, it's a political parsha. It's a parsha of politics. And Yaakov really made himself like Kafir's Arah, in terms of covering for Esav, in order to avoid battle with him. So it's a political parsha. Of course, Yaakov Avinu was the master of politics. The master of politics. The Gemara says that when he came to Lavan, so Rachel warned him about Lavan's tricks. So he said, Ki Achivu. So what does Chazal say? He wants the Megillah. Achiv means? That's right. Achiv ani beramayis. I could outdo him when it comes to being deceitful. So, yeah. So she asked him. She said, yes, that's right. Sounds like it's not nice, right? So she asked him that same question. That's what she asked him. She said, it's not nice. A little bit better. It's not according to Halacha. You're not allowed to do that. So Yaakov Avinu said no. The prophet says, "In chosid kishasod, v'im ikesh kitapol." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with a chosid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with an ikesh, a person who is crooked, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu undermines the ikesh. So what does that prove? That's right. Ma'wafato. Exactly. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals that way, that's the way we're supposed to deal. So therefore, on the contrary, a person who is a naive tzaddik, that is not considered, we don't consider that to be the proper way of dealing. On the contrary, kol talmud chacham she'enin naikim v'naikir k'nachash, enei talmud chacham, the word says. Each one doesn't have the ability, I tell you, he couldn't go into that area. But in terms of what a person is supposed to do, this one is a tzaddik talmud, couldn't do it. But he was removed, the hashgacha saw fit that he should not be involved in that. But if a person is involved in it, he's mechuyev to be, on the contrary, he's mechuyev to be neikin v'neiker. Kol talmud chacham she'ein neikin v'neiker k'nachash, ein ei talmud chacham, the Gemara says. So talmud chacham is supposed to have the ability to be the slyest and the most deceitful person when necessary. On the contrary, that's the godless, that's the Torah, that's the Torah, and that's Yaakov Avinu. That's Yaakov Avinu, yes? Melach, I did this in Melach when he was, when he was leaning from the Bima Shalait, in the Migdash. So he really wasn't a Melech. Al Pidin, he wasn't supposed to, because he wasn't from Klal Yisrael, but that's the way it's political, that's the situation like that. So it said, when he read Mikarev Achecha, Tosim Melech HaMelech, they started to cry, so Chazal said to him, Al Pidin Lato, they went in it. They couldn't answer him. Depends when. If you just do it for flattery, that you're not allowed to do. If it's for the emotional flattery, you're not allowed to. But if it's done for the true purpose, for the correct idea, then not only is it you're supposed to do it, it's a chiyuv to do it. You're supposed to do it. The rule is like this. The rule is the tzaddik is mechuyev to do everything. What? So I thought the pasuk is not allowed to do it. So that's another case. So the question is how much and when. So maybe the question, I have to the chazal. I don't know what I'm talking about. I have to the chazal. But the rule is, never mind the chazal, the rule is, from the chazal, the rule is that if it's everything that's necessary to be done for Hatzolos Nefasha, for Hatzolos Nehemi Yisraelis, you're supposed to be the slyest, and you're supposed to do it in the most deceitful way possible. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay. Now, that's why this parsha is really the parsha which teaches us all these sages of how to deal with the goat. So, interesting is like this. Pasulit. Koyama Avdecho Yaakai. In Lovan Garti, vo Echar Adato. What does it mean in Lovan Garti? Yes, the Rashi. Bereishis Rabbah. What does it say? In Lovan Garti, the Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti, the Loy Lamadati Mimais of Haroyim. Right? Okay. What's the question up there? You understand, it doesn't mean that he told him this openly. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, I told you, every word was measured over here. So when he said in Lovan Garti, the implication was only Garti, not in Lovan Yashati. Lovan Garti, which means he meant to get across the idea that he didn't learn from the ways of Lovan Arami. He didn't learn how to be deceitful. That's what it means. Okay, Tayag, it's a remnant. It means that Yaakov got the message across implicitly. Certain things is not good to say explicitly. It has a bad effect to say explicitly. But implicitly, the message is across in a better way. That's what Chazal means. That's why it's only remnant. He didn't say it openly. He didn't tell them that Lovan got Tayag and Shemarki. But he got the message across. Politically, certain things are better not to say it openly, but you want to get the message across. See, that's what it means over here. That implicit was Garty meant that he didn't learn from the evil ways of loving around me. But I want to ask you a more basic question. Yes, Olson.
Yes.
Question is, simple question. To Esav. He said to Esav. Yes. Koi Saimru Madaini La Esav. Koi Omar Avdecho Yaakov. In Lom... I think... So, Koi Amma Avdachaya, in Lovan Gati Vaecha Arata. Okay? The question is this. What's the question? Oh, the question is Seichel. He's trying to pacify. Tell me, first of all, the question is, what does Esav care if he kept Tayag Mitzvah? Does that make sense? In Esav or Russia? In Esav, he came over and he was patting the back. Oh, good boy. You kept Tayag Mitzvah. Very nice. You live with Lovan, you kept Tayag Mitzvah, you don't want to have to use their ways. Good. Esav really cares about that. Well, it's ridiculous. On the contrary, it's worse. It's worse. He's telling him, I kept the Tayag Mitzvah, so therefore I have the brachas, I have everything. What do you have? You have nothing. Since I kept Tayag Mitzvah, he wants it. He wants it like this. It's not a bit of answer. He wants it like this. In love on Garti means I kept Tayag Mitzvah. And you know from the brachas that if I keep Tayag Mitzvah, so then what happens? So then you don't get anything. So therefore, don't try to start up with me because. Who? What? So, say that's what he wants to say. I would say that's a good possibility, but there's one thing that's wrong with that. What's wrong with that shot? Yeah. Now, it goes like this. He says, V'tayag mitzvah shamati, v'lo lamadati mimaisa harayim. What does that say, v'lo lamadati mimaisa harayim for? Why? What is it? What does it mean, Lele Marathi Maitre? What does it mean, Lele Marathi? No. He means to say, don't think that I'm a person who's going to destroy you. Don't think I'm a person who learned from Lovan Arami. I'm still a nice person. He's not telling me what he just wanted to tell me. Kept Tayag Mitzvah. He said, Tayag Mitzvah Shemati. That's it. Lele Marathi Maitre Roya means I'm a nice guy. I didn't become a Russia from Lovan. You shouldn't hate me. I'm a nice person. You understand? If it was just merely a fact that he... Because Lovan Arami was known. He's the most deceitful guy. Look out for Lovan. He's dangerous fellow. He could take the sheriff's head back without noticing it. So, therefore, if he just wanted to say he kept the mitzvah, he said, Tiger Mitzvah Shemati. Lovan Arami, myself, Arami means I'm a good person. That's what it means. So you should think of me as a good person, not as a Russia. Now, what does Esav care if he's a good person or he's not a good person? On the contrary, the argument is just the opposite. That Tayag Mitzvah gives him all the brachas, gives him rights for all the brachas. So he has nothing. You understand what I mean?
There's another reason also, I'll tell you something else. What's wrong with his status like this? I said, if his status would have, if he would have said, retired Mr. Mansi, then that's all.
The Lola Mansi Mimaisa Roim is appeasement. It's not that he's warning him. It's not a warning. It's appeasement. Besides, I'll tell you something else. You see, Esav wanted to kill Yaakov right away, right? What about the Brachis? Voya Kasha Torah? See, he wasn't concerned with that so much, Esav Russia. Because he wanted to kill him. Yaakov had to run away because Esav wanted to kill him. But he wanted to kill him. Yisrael made Yaakov a brother, but Shabbat. But Yema Esav Belibai. Yavo Yene Ezel Ovi. Vahargo Siakov Ochi. Aye, the brachas keep tired, Mr. Zolin keep tired, Mr. I want to kill him anyway. And apparently you see that a warning wouldn't be effective either anyway. Because Esav was intent, was waiting for years for the moment. Till the moment that Yisrael passed away. Yes. I said Zivadov Shad. I said another Shad. Yes. He didn't care. He was just waiting to kill him. He didn't care about the brachas. He wasn't concerned about that. Moreover, I'll say something else. really, what is the cause of sinat esav? What causes sinat esav? What is the mucker of sinat esav? You know what it is? What is it? Yeah, breath. Breath. Okay, but from where? From where does it come? Sinat esav as well. What's the source? Chazal say, the Rambam says in the Geras Tema. The Geras Tema is very important because the Geras Tema was written precisely for this. The Geras Tema was a time when they persecuted the Jews and had to run away, and in the Boris and in the woods, they had no place to. And the Rambam told them over there, he says, run away into the woods. He says, leave everything, don't worry about it, just keep the jail with the terror. So he writes, the Rambam writes in the Geras Tema, and he says, it all comes Chazal, Ha-Sinai. Lama Nikra Shemoa Sinai. Why was this mountain called Sinai? Lama Nikra Shemoa Sinai. Why? Shemisham Yardasina Lumas Allah. The Samach and the Sinah are interchangeable. So from there, a Sinah was created. So what is the Sinah really? What caused the Sinah of Asaf Yaka? Is it Manasa? Anti Semitism? What caused it? Terror. Yes. See, right. Perfect. Couldn't put it better. That's right. Because, you see, what Chazal held is like this. Exactly. Well. No. Truth of the matter is, see, really everybody in the world was made to accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The whole world, not just Kol Yisrael. You see, what's the best raya on Yom Kippur? What are you laying? You laying the parasha of Yena. Yena was sent to Nineveh. What was Nineveh? Nineveh Yerek Dailah. So whether Kodesh Baruch Hu care about Nineveh, a bunch of Gaim over there? The answer is, because really the whole world was created to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just Kol Yisrael. To recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, lahavir gululim in the oretz, valilim kari sikureisim, lesakein erlam b'malchus shedai, means that everybody, everybody, that's the eventual gula asida, means the whole world recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and HaKodesh Mayachot, Bayano, the whole world. So in the Zim say, everybody says, of course, Klal Yisrael is the amanivchar, that must live according to Taryag Mitzvah. That's a higher Kedusha. But the basic Kedusha to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, everybody has to have that level. So really, the truth of the matter is that in a person's when a person lives an evil life, Umay Soilam, where they don't live according to the true idea, the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, they don't keep those mitzvahs, and they don't recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, underneath it all, they really know that they're living wrong. And they're jealous of the ones who live according to Yadah. And they want to destroy them in order to blot out their guilt for not living the right way, in order to destroy those of whom they are envious. And really, it's a pasuk, it's Sukkim in Tehillim Perek Beis. And the Rambam quotes the Sukkim in Tehillim. It's interesting. We one time learned in Tehillim, and we said the same shot. The Rambam says in the Geras Tema, it says Lama Rog Shagoyim Beis Uluumin Meisi Yochad. How's it go? The whole parish is about anti-Semitism. Why do all the Malachim get together to wipe out the Jews? Why? What's the reason? They want to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they really are fighting against Hashem. But it's personified in the Ummah in Klal Yisrael. Parts of personified Allah Hashem because they're Meshichites. You understand what I mean? That's a shame. Because it really is rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it really is. It's rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the show. So Rama mentions the Geras Tema also. It's Ha-Sinai Shemisham. One type of sinner. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting chazal in the end of the third parak in Sochem. The end of Eloifim. In fact, we left off in Eloifim, Sochem. Mar says, "Kol haloi mei Torah b'snei am haaretz." A person who learns Torah before an am haaretz, ki ilu boyel arisafei b'manav. It's as if he should live with. As if somebody should live with his arusa. Arusa means before Erson is like engaged. Is what they call similar. It's not the same. Erson is real kinyan, but it's kol kinyan. The gemara kinyan is chuppah. So they used to have a year's time between Ephraim and Suin. So it says, if he lives with the other person's Arusa, the Fanach. So I want them to define, what's the Masa, what's the Nishal? How does it work? You see, there's three things. It says, Kilu Bayal Arusasai, there's Fanach. Not just Bayal Arusasai, but the Fanach. What does it mean? It means like this. Bayal Arusasai involves two things. First of all, Bayal Arusasai means the thing, the one that he desires. He has the greatest desire for Arusa. The Chazal always uses, the Torah always uses, for Masha,
something that you desire, it always is an isha. That's the, because that's the highest emotion in man. So it says kilu bala rasata means the thing that he desires the most, somebody else has. That's one emotion. That's one reason why he hates him, because he's taking something I want very much. Another emotion is something else. That arusa is someone that's supposed to be for him, right? And now when somebody else lives with her, he defiles her and ruins it for him. He'll never have it. That's the second emotion, you see? And then befanav. What does befanav mean? Befanav means he doesn't even... What is that, Shah? What is that, Shah? Yeah, Shah's chutz for lack of regard, you see? So when a person learns Torah b'fnei Amaretz, those three emotions are brought out by the Amaretz. First of all, it's something that he really wants, Torah, because he knows he's supposed to have it. That's it. And he doesn't have it. Secondly, it makes him realize something else. He'll never have it. He'll never have it. That's two. Because he knows. He sees that he's an Amaretz, and this guy's Tom Hachem. He knows he can't change. If he's going to change, it, I'll chew it. But he knows the way he is. See, a person throughout life fools himself constantly. A person doesn't learn. Years go by, yeah, I'll learn the future. I'll learn, you know. Well, I'll open the session soon. I'll get more money. I'll be able to learn. I don't have enough now. Always excuses. But when he sees somebody sitting and learning, he has to confront himself. And he says, look, I'm an Amaretz, and he's Tom Hachem. That's the way to. I'm not going to have it. That's the second emotion. And the third emotion, the fun of means, because he knows there's a disregard. He knows that a Talmud Chacham can't possibly respect an Amaretz. Because he's a Chacham and he's an Amaretz. He knows that there's no respect for him. So that's the third emotion. That's the Gemara, what? The Chazal? The Chazal. Give me Gemara Pesachim, I'll show you. Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim is. The Gemara Pesachim is available. Gemara is on the Mem Test on the days. Tani Rebbe Chia. Chia says, Kol Ha'isek B'Teira L'Fnei Ha'Maretz Ki Ilu Boyel Arusasei B'Fonov. That's Daf Mem Tes Amid Bey. It's the Ramadan. The Ramadan part. So, you feel, do you understand me? So there's a triple emotion that causes hatred. Now listen to the next Gemara that follows. The next Gemara that follows is unbelievable Gemara. Wouldn't be Gemara, you're thinking you wouldn't be able to say it. Gemara says like this. Gemara says, Gidoy lo chino. The hatred that an Amoret has for Talmud Chacham is greater. It's greater than the sinner that Goyim hate Jews. Amazing, amazing Chazal. Chazal say, what's worse, an anti-Semite or an Amoret? Who hates the Talmud Chacham worse? The Gemara says an Amoret hates the Talmud Chacham worse than Goyim, worse than anti-Semite. You understand what I mean? Amazing Chazal, huh? You want to say the Shesei and Yetzer Mehem, and their wives hate them even worse. All right. But that's the Chazal. Okay. What is the Pshat? I want you to understand one thing, though. But by the way, that was the old Machlekes, you know. That was the old Machlekes. Question was, in whose hands? That's the question. The Sakhna against the Rishrup. Political question. Who should have Eretz Yisrael? Is it better by the Goyim? Or is it better by the under the Memshoah? Question. A riot. I mean, Shluchari could bring a riot, right? But it says who hates worse? The Amoret hates Talmud Chacham worse, right? What's the why not? I say it's not so. I say it's wrong. I say it's better by the Jews. You'll tell me the Gemara says the hatred is greater. What's the shot? What? Leave it here. See, there's two things. There's the emotion of hatred, and then there's what you do if you have the emotion of hatred. By, it's true that the Amoret has a greater hatred. But since he's Yisrael, it's not going to kill him. It doesn't mean that the Ritzicha and the Achzorius of the Yisrael is worse. That's not what it means. It means the emotion of hate is worse. But Yisrael is not an Achzor. B'derach Klal. But Dumas Olam are. So even if the hatred isn't as great, but they can do much more harm than the Amaret. The Amaret hatred is much greater. But whose hands is better to be in? I would rather be in the hands of the Yisrael, even though the hatred is greater. Okay. The Gemara is only discussing the emotion of hatred. It's not discussing the other side. It doesn't say who's worse. It says the hatred is worse. Okay. Same with Derech Klav. You have to understand. Again, you see, Chazal, you have to understand something. Chazal is talking about very deep ideas in psychology. And when you say hate, it's not necessarily so simple to discern a hatred. As I told you, a hatred could be covered over in many ways. It doesn't mean that a lot of Amayorit support Torah, right? So what do you say? The Chazal are wrong. No. The question is, one part of him has the sinner there. That you can't do away with. There's another part of his nature that overcomes, you understand? It overcomes it. That causes him to get stuck, causes him to do things. Doesn't mean the sin isn't there. It'll come out in different ways. How it expresses, well, that's what I told you before. We have to differentiate between the expression of the sinner and between whether the sin is there, buried.
there. Yeah, same with us.
The person lives with somebody else's arusa means he doesn't respect him as a human being. He has no rights. I don't care. Take your arusa. We don't have no respect for you. So that's the same thing over here. Because he knows that the Talmud Chacham looks down at him. The Rav one time told an interesting story. He said there's somebody in Boston who's very close with him. And his son, he was an uneducated man. He worked hard for a living. And he put his son through medical school. So the mother always liked the son very much. The father didn't like him. So one time mentioned to the Rav this, and he said, he's very unhappy. So the Rav says, why? Your son's a doctor. You want your son to become a doctor? Very great. So what's upsetting you? There's one thing upsets me, he says. You see, I know I'm an ignorant man, he says, and my son is an intelligent man. And I know that an intelligent man cannot have any respect for an ignorant man. So that's why he has no respect for me. By chachma in the world, it's true. By chachma tateira, it's true alachas kama v'chama. Because chachma in the world, so he knows a few ideas more about the cells. So he knows more about biology. So what? But chachma tateira is worse. Why? Because chachma tateira is the whole derech hachayim. The person has chachma tateira means he knows what he's living for. He knows what's more important than that. So it means a person that knows what he's living for, how does he look at a person who lives like a fool? He has to look like a nobody, a behemoth. You understand? Tell you that the marshal is exact. It's not just Chazal put together a marshal. It's a precise marshal. Yes. Think of it. We tend to do like this. I'd like to understand something. Psychologists give it a name, projection. But we knew about this before they came out with a name. It's in the Torah. A person, instead of hating himself for his shortcomings, will hate somebody else. And that's exactly what takes place by the Sinas Esau, anti-Semitism. Really, you're right. He should look at himself and say, what's wrong? Why should the Amar should hate the Talmud Chacham? It says, my shortcomings. What is it? Talmud Chacham's fault that he's an Amar? Talmud Chacham stopped him from learning? No. But the pshat is, that's the way a person works psychologically. When a person isn't working properly according to Seichel HaYosher, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, the whole thing becomes crooked. I told you many times, the Seichel HaYosher becomes crooked. So what happens? So instead of hating himself for his shortcomings, say, hate the Talmud Chacham. It's absurdity. What? Right, try to pull him down. He thinks he's going to rip him, this will kill him. That's the whole thing. Illogical, right? That's right. That's exactly. That's right. The hatred really that he hates, I want you to understand an important point. The hatred that he directs against the Talmud Chacham is really, where does the source from that hatred? Where is it from? The hatred that was originally against who? Originally against himself. Correct. Originally it was against himself, but since he can't do it, he doesn't want to change himself. So he directs the hatred towards the Talmud Chacham. Same thing with anti-Semitism. It's a distortion. It's a distortion of the Seichel HaYosher. Because really, the anti-Semites should really, the Gemara says, is the Chazal say, that if the Goyim would have known how good the Beis HaMikdash was for them, it says they would have surrounded it with legions, legionaries, for you, says the Maitre, to protect it. Why? Because I'll say, Sheyofe Hoya Lohem Yishoya Lonu. Because it says when Shlomo Melech, in Melech HaMalach, when he says that when the guy comes, Hashem answers, actually listens to that. When the guy comes, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillah of the guy, whether he deserves it or not. But by Yisrael, it's Pafi Masor. It's true. So really, the truth of the matter is the Beis HaMikdash was the best thing for the guy. But why did the guy see it? Because the Seichel HaYosher is distorted. Because instead of hating himself for not doing the right thing, he projects the hatred onto the Jews. You understand what I mean? There's an unconscious thing. In other words, people do things, they don't know why they're doing it. If they had Seichel, they would analyze it. That's an unconscious thought. I'd love to do a Seichel from there. General principle. If somebody asks the question, they say, why does he, where is the hatred, what type of hatred is it? So we said, it's a hatred, really he should hate himself. That's what we're saying. He should hate himself. So we said, of course he should. But the point is that a person doesn't do that. A person, instead of hating himself, he projects the hatred onto somebody else. That's a human mechanism of defense. It's a defense mechanism. You understand what I mean? Instead of hating yourself over your shortcomings, don't you know some people do something wrong, they'll blame everybody else around them. Right? You know, it's crazy. You listen to it, say, that's crazy. That is good. But the person who's saying it doesn't think it's crazy. Why? Because he's under the emotions. He's under the power of the emotions. It's like, oh, Yosh, is the daughter of that moment. Right? So it's a projection of the hatred that he has for himself. He hates against, he's projecting against the Talmud Chacham. Right? And the same thing is true by Umar Salam, the same source for anti-Semitism. Okay? The same source for anti-Semitism. That's why Chazal say that the hatred
of an Amoret for Talmud Chacham is greater than the hatred of the Goyim for the Jews, greater than anti-Semitism. Okay? So the question is, why is it greater? Why is it greater? Why is the greater of the hatred of the Amoret greater than anti-Semitism? What's the answer?
Now, why is it that anti-Semitism is the same quality, I want you to understand, the same quality of hatred, but it's not the same quantity? Why? Why is it not the same quantity? Yes?
If you're closer to it, so then the hatred is greater. In other words, the closer you are to the situation, the more you see the true life, then the more the hatred is, because the more you realize what you're missing. So Goyim are further away. They don't realize. They don't know what Torah is. They don't know what Torah is. What? Because they also sense it. They also know there's a correct. A person who's living in Russia knows. Sense that they're living in Russia knows there's a correct way.
They do know.
But not as much, because they don't even see what the full Torah is. You understand what I mean? But a person who knows what Torah is in Amar, he sees what Tom Hagam is, so he understands greater, has a greater idea of what he's missing than the Greater. In Amar, has a greater idea than the good. Yeah, because he's closer, he knows what the Namar knows more about telling the guy. He goes on the outside, he's on the periphery, he's outside the circle over there. Namar thinks he's in the circle. He's a Jew, of course. Now, so that's the way it is. If that's the case, so the snake,
I want it. Sorry, it comes up prejudice. Sorry, sir, the system of Israel, they use prejudice. My of Abtani was Galen. They were Galen Israel. They were the name of Shammai and Hillel. So on the kind of guy to reach the rule.
Anyway, the fact that the Goyim are jealous of Matan Torah, what's the biggest raya that the Goyim are jealous of Matan Torah? What's the biggest raya? To Sinai. What's the biggest raya? No! That they make up their own imitation of Sinai. Don't you see it? With Christianity, that's an imitation of Sinai. And then with the Islam, Mormonism, is an absolute imitation. As a matter of fact, they even accept the Torah itself. They even accept the Torah itself. They claim that they accept the original Torah, right? And then they make up their own type of, and there's a new one which is added to it. What could be a greater imitation than that? Right? I mean, it's open. And imitation is the greatest sign of jealousy, envy. I mean, he wants the same thing.
Therefore, the question becomes even more powerful. Namely, the question is, if that is so, so therefore, when he says in Love on Garthi, the Tayag Mitzvah Shemati, it's even worse. That's the source of the sinner. We show from Chazal, from Tehillim, from the Rambam. That's the source of the sinner. So in Love and God, the Tayag Mitzvah Shemati, that'll enrage him. Right? Oh, but they know it's not true. Not true. Why? No. The old question is like this, you see? The question is, when is the anti-Semitism worse? When the Jews keep the Torah, or when the Jews don't keep the Torah? What do you think? When they don't. Why is that so? It should be just the opposite. If Sinat Esav is based on Har Sinai, so on the contrary, when should it be worse? When should anti-Semitism be worse? When? It should be worse when they keep the Torah, when they exemplify Sinai. But when they don't exemplify Sinai, it should be better. It comes out exactly the opposite. The anti-Semitism is worse when they don't keep the Torah. Why? Answer like this. There's two things. He's right. There's two things. There's the machayev for the sinner, the cause of the sinner, you understand, is definitely Sinai. It's definitely Tayag Mitzvah. But you have to understand something. Like I told you before, a person can have a tremendous sinner, but he can't release it. He can't express it. Something's stopping him. Why? Because it's true he hates the guy, but he has no reason to. He can't unleash his hatred because he can't justify himself. He has to justify his actions. You can't just go over to a person you hate. First, what's that person smarter than you? Can you just go over and kill him? You can't, you have no right to. But if the person can do something with you against the law, then you'll come down on him and really let him have it. You see? You need a matir for the aggression. You understand what I'm saying? There's the machayat for the sinner, and then there's the matir for the aggression. Therefore, you have no justification for annihilating me. You have no matter for your aggression. There are two factors. One,
by the way, no. The jealousy will always be there. Because jealousy is irrational. The Jew is identified with Sinai regardless. No matter what he does, he exemplifies that idea of Sinai. So even if he doesn't do it, he still can't get rid of that stamp. You see?
The symbol of Sinai is imprinted on him, no matter what he does. So the hatred is always there. Now, if he doesn't live according to the Torah, then it's a marker for the aggression. Once they have a marker for the aggression, then they can destroy it. So where does anti-Semitism work? What? Oh, now it makes sense. Very good. In love and jealousy, the tie is all about. That's why, by the way, where does anti-Semitism, you know, the Holocaust started, the gospel, where did it start? I don't know exactly right. Why? Over there, you see, there was, they didn't keep the Torah. What's the answer? And love and God is anti-Semitic. If it's not tied to anti-Semitic, then on the contrary, then the worst anti-Semitic.
Just want to add one more point. Why he says Lolamatim Maisa Haroyim? Why don't you say the Tag Mitzvah Shemati? The answer is that there's two areas. There's Ben Adam Lachavero and then there's Ben Adam Lamakom. And so far as Sinas Esav is concerned, Ben Adam Lachavero is the important area. Whenever Ben Adam Lachavero is violated, that's the matter for the aggression.
So is it? In the case, when the Tzar Maskin, what was Yosef's mistake? Yosef says had been talking to the Tzar Maskin. Because they had to wait 2 years. He forgot him, right? But then he remembered him later when Parah had his chalom. And he said to him in Pasuk Beis, "Vishom itana nar ivri evet l'sara tabochim v'anesaper loy v'yiftolono es chalom esenu ish kachalom et pasa." So Rashi says, Chazal interprets, that this was really not in the most flattering terms that he spoke of Yosef HaTzadik. But rather unflattering terms. The Shomitan of Nar Ivri, Eved, the Sarat HaBachim. He's a Nar, he's a fool, he's a shaita, he's an Eved. He is not a man that you could ever take for office. Alright, so I'll ask you a simple question. Namely, if you recommend a doctor, will you say, I have a wonderful doctor for you? He's a fool, he's an idiot, he's not good. Does that make sense? What kind of thing is this? How do you understand? How do you understand Chazal? Yes? What do you say? You see, the Tzar Mashkin, why didn't the Tzar Mashkin? Actually, the Tzar Mashkin didn't live by the laws of justice. Yosef put his faith in the Tzar Mashkin. He thought, here, I helped you out, and now you'll help me back, right? You'll help me. So, therefore, he told him his whole life story. Yosef told him his whole life story. He grew up getting after me after the Ivrim, the Gampalo, the Sisim, the Umar. Now I helped you, now you help me. Why couldn't the Tzar Mashkin help him? Because the Tzar Mashkin had one problem. What was his problem? His problem was he had an ego problem. He couldn't recognize anybody else. Okay. Now, the Torah tells you over here the best way to knock somebody down. See, the first way to knock somebody down is not to recognize any of his qualities. That's what the Tzar Mashkin did. He walked away, forgot about Yosef. Forget about him. I don't want to hear about his qualities. That's number one. But two, when you have to recognize his qualities already, then you should make sure that you strip him of every other quality that he has. Okay? That's what the Tzar Mashkin did. The Tzar Mashkin mentioned Yosef to Paro only for one reason, for his own ego. Why? Because he wanted to be the one that brought to the king the great solution to the king's problem. But his own personal motives were involved. That's why he would never mention Yosef before. You understand? Because he didn't want to. He couldn't stand that anybody should get recognition. You understand? Except him. Now, when Paro has his big dilemma, so he wants to be the great man that solves the king's problem, but simultaneously he doesn't want anybody else to have credit. So what does he do? So he says, yes, he could solve your problem, but you should know in every other area, he's no good. That's the way to knock a person down. That's what I got there. Okay. Now, let's take a look at when the Tzar Mashkin built him up. But he had to build him up in one way. Right? Which way did he have to build him up? Mm-hmm. Interpreting dreams. Let's take a look. V'nachal mochaloim b'laylo echad anivahu. Very strange formulation. What does it mean? We dreamt the dream for the pisrein. Take a look at Rashi. A dream that fits the pisrein, that fits the interpretation. Chaloim haroi lepisrein shenistalona v'demalav. Right? Now let me ask you, what would you say? Would you say a dream fits the interpretation, or would you say an interpretation fits the dream? What does the Torah say? That the dream fits the interpretation. Okay. Very odd thing. That's what I said. Chaloim ho-yo-oi le-fis-rein shenich-dalai v'demalai. What was the strategy? It could be just the opposite. The dream is the interpretation. So the interpretation has to fit the dream, not the dream has to fit the interpretation. Anything like
that? Oh, I got the
interpretation. So that's it. The dream fit the interpretation.
On the what do you mean, just interpretation? Interpretation is the dream. What are you doing? What's the issue? A picture and interpretation is an interpretation of a dream. A dream isn't a dream of an interpretation. What are you interpreting? You're interpreting the essence of the dream. You understand what I mean? So you have a dream, and now you want the interpretation. They don't say the dream belongs to the interpretation. The interpretation belongs to the dream. Why didn't I reverse the order? That's the question. Right, let's forget about this question. Let's take something else. All right? Take up another problem. You all know very well that Chazal differentiate between chayt and mitzvah. Right? You probably differentiate. Certain sets of laws are Torah called chayt. Other sets of laws are Torah called mitzvah. Right? What's the difference between chayt and between mitzvah? Taking the fucking, the A amount is telling you, taking the fucking, because it's a similar time. One we know, one we don't know, right? As far as it. That's what you've been taught all the way through, right? And that's the way you understand it. One is you understand, one you don't understand. Now, what's the question? The next question. You mean to say a cloak has no reason?
No.
We don't know the reason. Alright, so now let's be clear. You mean to say we can't know the reason? Nobody knows the reason? Is that what I mean? You do?
No, we can't.
We don't? Do we know any of the reasons?
We can, but we don't.
You know. How do you know you can know?
Yeah.
First of all, it's Jack Slavo.
Right, fine. Okay.
But you have bigger than the first one, you have Slavo Melo. The Gemara says Slavo Melo knew everything except. Part of them, they didn't understand thoroughly. Okay, fine. But so it comes out that every heart, really, a person can understand. First of all, there's a reason for heart. Has to be a reason for heart. And secondly, a person can understand the reason. So, here's the question first. That by misfucking also, when we say we understand misfucking, not so simple that we understand misfucking. You know what the side you don't understand? He says that why, here's the question. He says, misfucking to be understood by man. So he says, so why does the Torah have to give misfucking? Man can't. I thought misfucking has to help you, or you know yourself, right? No. He says, not, so why the ones that he gave, why do you have to give those? So the side you don't understand is very ingenious. Sir. He says, the reason is, because let's say take the misfucking like Geneva. Right? The simple thing every society knows, you can't have Geneva and have a society. Okay. But when does Gezel begin? What is a Maisik Gezel? What is Kinyan? When I decide I want to buy the car, when I take the keys, when I ride a shower, when? You don't know exactly when it begins. The details you don't know. Yitzicha, you can't have a society, you can't have murder, right? What's the big question today with abortion? What's the big problem today? Question? Yeah, is that murder or not? What is murder? If you kill a sperm, is that murder? If you kill a zygote, is it murder? Is it murder when it becomes an embryo? Is it murder when the embryo has taken shape? When? At what point is it considered murder? Good question. How are you going to answer a question like that? Of course the idea, the basic idea of a tzicha, a person would know by himself. But the Torah didn't just give the basic idea of a tzicha. Together with a tzicha, hukas a tzicha, shmeres and ephesh, there's hundreds of halachas involved. What is a tzicha? When? And how much of a cause do you have to be a tzicha? Kofsalus Nayari, a Thai person in front of a line. Is that receivers or not receivers? All different childless questions, thousands of questions you have, right? So the Sadi Goyen says, and he says correctly, very well, that it is true that the basic principles of Mishpatim I would know. But you would never be able to figure out, and you would never be able to figure out the details. And that's why today our society is in a quandary. And they could never get out of it. Because one person will argue the embryo is really alive and says the status of life and has all its rights. Then the person will say, no, it's a part of the woman, it's an orishus. She's the one that, who's going to decide whether it is, whether it isn't? Or questions you have today have left the life and death of medical science. When is a person dead? Brainwaves? What's the nature of brainwaves? Heart beating? What about people who are in a state of limbo where the heart isn't beating? Many, many questions. You cannot answer these questions except through one method. What's the method? Only if God tells you. Because God can tell you exactly where to draw the line. But man has no way of figuring it out. That's why these questions that the society has, and if you take a look at the arguments, they're all nonsensical, because nobody has a proof either way. There's no proof, it's just emotional arguments to use one this or one that way. But to really know what life is, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei HaOlam, who created life, can tell you this is life and this is not life. Here's another line. Nobody else can tell you. That's why without the Torah Mishinai, you would never know. It's true you know Ritzicha, but you'd never know how to operate. How Ritzicha operates. That's what Sadi Goyen says. So you see, even Mishpatim is not so simple. Right? Okay. So we find on the one hand Mishpatim are not so simple, and yet we find that Chukim we can understand too. So the question is, what is the difference between Chayt and between Mishpat? The question comes back. If I could understand the Chayt, so then, yeah, I mean Mishpatim I don't understand completely, and Chayt I don't understand completely.
Mishpat, Chayk, I can't understand, and Mishpat, I can understand. So the whole distinction that you always have, that you always think of, in terms of Chayk and Mishpat, when you really sit down and analyze it, doesn't seem to work out. Doesn't seem to work out. You understand my question? Alright, you understand my question? Good question. According to him, Chayk is going to have a receding border. Why? Because the more you understand, it's going to become Mishpat. And according to you, Chayk has a receding border. It depends on the person's knowledge. The more knowledge they gain of the Chayk, then it for me becomes a Mishpat. Then there's no real Chayk and Mishpat. That's impossible. Chayk and Mishpat have set borders. Okay? It's not a matter of if I understand it becomes a Mishpat. Now, Mishpat and Chayk are two different things. What's the differentiation between Chayk and Mishpat? Simple question. Right? Okay. Basic question. Well, we'll try to explain it. What is Chayk? Chayk is Chayk and Chayk is Mishpat. What is Chayk? Chayk, right? Okay. What's Talmud Mitzvah? Laman Tisku. This is Chazan Shul Mitzvah. This is Hashem. That's why the Rambam says, when the Rambam in the end of Hilchot Tisku says, Mehilchot Mitzvah Tisku, Mitzvah Chaviva Ibi Yaisa. Because Mitzvah can then call it Tarakula. Because it reminds the person of Kaddish Baruch Hu, call it Tarakula. They see reasons. You can understand a lot of reasons. The Kibasukah, Yeshiva Basukah. Does the Torah say reasons for Yeshiva Basukah? Yeah, Laman Yehudi Darasif and Kivasuk is the Shakti, it's been Israel. So why is that hard to understand and you shouldn't tell somebody? So hard to understand. The Torah puts it in the Pasuk. You know, the Torah is written on two levels. Dibbutak wasn't there. The Torah is written on a level of plain Pasuk when you get something like that. It's not a deep Laman. He understands it. Kivasuk is the Shakti, it's been Israel. He understands that part. He doesn't understand the complications and how to make a Sukkah. You know, all the Detranes and the Sach. I mean, this you have to be a genius for. But the basic ideas you can have? Yes? Mishpat means justice. Mishpat is things that you find among Umas Eilam. That's called Mishpat. That's what the Ramban says. Remember the Tash Shnei after Ramban says, Ein Tzorach L'Navi Matir. That's Mishpat. You shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal. Basic, simple things. Yes. The Rambam has in Sefer Kedusha, but the Rambam has two Yisurim. I think I want that mentioned today. The Rambam has in Sefer Kedusha, he has Yisuri Arayis and Machalas Yisurim. Why is that Kedusha? Because there's two instincts in man. Sexual drive and repetitive drive. Those are the two drives of man. Sleep isn't a drive. Some of the psychologists say sleep, sleep. Sleep is not a drive. Sleep isn't a drive. Drives are two things. The drives are sex and also food. Two basic drives. That's why the Rambam says he puts that in Sefer Kedusha. Why? Because the Torah wants a person to be an Adam. And an Adam is one who distinguishes his das, determines what the instinct is going to do. Not the instinct determines his das. That's a behemoth. That's why it says this Kedusha in the Eastern Generation. Vivdalten beina behemoth tera latamera. What does it mean? It means das avdolaminayim. What is the mechalik? What makes a person adam? Is das. His das says, this piece of meat I will not eat, that piece of meat I will. This erva is also to me, this ish is muteret. And this ish is muteret now, and she's also later. You see? So that's adam. Because his das leads the instinct, not the instinct leads the das. Okay. Now, it is true that once I understand that, doesn't it make sense? Sure it makes sense. 100%. Makes just as much sense as mishpat. However, there's one difference, you see. The difference is as follows. The greatest philosopher, the Rambam says, in the Hagdama of Pirush Mishnayos, that certain great philosophers arrived at the same truths as the Torah. Basic truths of the Torah, the Rambam says. First, the Plato and Aristotle. Why? Because they also knew that the main thing in life is not Gashmiyah. Amazing. They were able to figure it out with rationality, that the main thing in life isn't Gashmiyah. The main thing in life is Avat Kofa. Avram worked it out, right? Correct. But there's one thing that they couldn't do. If you take a look, the way they worked the system, nobody, no matter how much das he has, no human being, could ever work out Tayyad Mitzvah. Let's see him work out from Bereshis to Le'enu Kol Yisrael, Tayyad Mitzvah. That's impossible. That was given to him in a He knew it because of his laws, but not because he worked at himself. What he worked at himself was one thing. Was that the shame? That he worked at himself. But the rest was given to him for his laws. But no man could work at Tayyad Mitzvah. If you would say that, then you'd have to say that the Avram was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu required a Kaddish Baruch Hu to teach him in the place. He couldn't work that out himself. Okay? No. I have a question. Okay. Yeah, go on. Greater person. Greater than who is greater person. Okay. Don't listen to my mother. Now, so the question is like this. So the question is, you see, the question is like this. Since we see this as so, correct? It means like this. That, what's the difference between the two? The difference is like this. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives you a chayk, let's say a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives you a chayk of a riot, I could sit down and I could figure out what benefit man gains from the chayk.
I could work out what benefit man gains from Shabbos. I could work out what benefit man gains from Christmas. You understand? But even though I know the benefit, there are a thousand ways to have that benefit. Why this way? Why the doctor through Christmas? Why the doctor through Isser Nida and through Isser Eishes Ach and all the Isser Arayas? Why these? I could work out other restrictions. That'll also be just as good, I would think, as the Tayag Mitzvah. Correct? You understand what I mean? In other words, a person, even though he has knowledge of the chayk, his knowledge of the chayk is like this. Once the Torah tells you the chayk, now you can say what the purpose is. Okay? But to work out a system in which you will give these precise chukim. In other words, when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tayag Mitzvah, and they have objectives, it means not just to have objectives. It means this is the best way to achieve the objective. Why is it the best way to achieve the objective? Because Hashem knows man, he knows Adam, he knows his nature better than anyone in the world could know it, and therefore he knows exactly the precise formula which is the best way in all respects, taking into consideration every factor, to bring about the desired result. You understand what I mean? So here's one thing. I'm saying by tzitzis, a person can know the purpose to recognize Hashem. A philosopher, a chacham, a real chacham, could also understand Das Hashem, a person who recognizes Hashem, by himself. But will a person know that the best way to do it, if you want people to recognize Hashem, is to make them wear tzitzis? That he wouldn't be able to learn. You understand? We'll tell you 15 other ways to do it. Who says tzitzis is the best way? Who says mitzvah is the best way? Who says all the mitzvah means, right? Mitzvah and perfection. But who says precisely those? The only one that can know that is a person that knows exactly Adam, and he knows Adam, and he knows an umah, he knows society, he knows individuals to the level where he'll know exactly what the best formula is. I say that type of das is only das Hashem. No human being could ever know Adam that well to know exactly why this specific and why that specific. Why this mitzvah and why that mitzvah. Why? Because the person doesn't have the knowledge. The person does not have the knowledge. Now, to say as follows. Therefore, that type, Mishpat is different. Mishpat is a person himself would know the idea on his own. No idea. Now, it comes out like this. That when it comes to Mishpat a person could know. Not only can he know the benefit that society gains from not having murder, not only can he know the benefit that society gains from not stealing, but he could know that there must be a law of don't steal and don't kill. Don't murder. I'm sorry. Right? You understand? That's the difference between Chayk and Mishpat. When Chazal say that Mishpat is Mitzvah Shatechel Machayivam, and Chayk is not Shatechel Machayivam, it doesn't mean one you can understand, one you can't understand. Otherwise, you can get rid of all the Chayk and Mishpat and all the Chazal. No. It means you can understand the benefit, but you could never have enough understanding and knowledge to create precisely this chayk. That's only Das Hashem. And how do I know that? Because that's the difference between chayk and mishpat. Mishpat is different. Mishpat, a person, a human being himself, can arrive at the particular. He'll set up the particulars himself. Like spirit self, like signal, you can take an HP. All these things will work out himself, but you can't have a society. In a chayk, no one could work that Tayag Mitzvah from Bereshit to Nikra Yisrael on his own. You can't, because he doesn't have enough knowledge to know precisely what it is. So what's the difference between two types of das? What's the difference between two types of das? In one case, when I have the thing given to me, I know the objective. You see? But why this thing? What? The construction. I can't figure out the construction of the Mitzvah. Man could know the benefit of a Mitzvah once he has it, but he could never figure out the construction of the Mitzvah. That's impossible. Now we'll go back to Yeshua. You understand the color? The difference is you have any cash to chayk and mishpat. Sadi Goyen says you won't be able to arrive at the particulars. You're right. But why do I still call it mitzvah shetechel machayivam? Because the basics you'll be able to arrive at. But when it comes to tayyad, you'll never be able to arrive at it. If you read philosophers, Plato, the Ramesses Plato had said like this, Mamish like a Torah. Correct. But in his Republic, in ways he worked out what should be his system, he wouldn't have any, he would never find tayyad mitzvah there. Absolutely not. The details, Sadi Gaya, there's two things. Let me put it this way. Don't get confused with what Sadi Gaya says. I thought. Don't get confused between what Sadi Gaya says. What Sadi Gaya says is you won't know the particulars of the mitzvah. You understand what I mean? What Sadi Gaya says is you will not know the particulars of the mitzvah. But he still differentiates between mitzvah and chayk. Why? Why? Because at least you'll know the basics in Rosh Hashanah, and you'll know yourself. In mitzvah, you'll never know the Rosh Hashanah. Who's to determine what the best way to protect man is? Who's to determine is doctor this way, not that way? That only a Kaddish Baruch Hu knows. So when a Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us Tayyad, he didn't just give us a method of improving. What did he give us? He gave us the best method of improvement. You understand? We literally understand something else in the Chumash. You read about Yehuda. Vayeri Yehuda me'eis echav, and Yehuda lived with his writer, right? The question is, how could Yehuda? She stayed tall. He stayed with incubation. So how could he live with his writer? Vayeite le'ol adera. And the Torah doesn't say it was a chayt. Does not say it was a chayt. So how could he do it? What's the answer? How could he do it?
Because
not a chayt. Question is, what do they say? How could he do it? So the answer is, because he prayed a matan Torah. So let's see, but prayed him. So what? What do you mean prayed a matan Torah? What do you mean prayed a matan Torah? So what? The answer is like this. The answer is, what type of a situation was it prayed a matan Torah, and what type of situation was it lach a matan Torah? Prayed a matan Torah, the situation was the same objective, perfection of yourself, just like lach a matan Torah, but there's one difference. Prayed a matan Torah, a person had to use his own ways of reaching perfection. His own ways. There was no halachic system. La'acha matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tayyai. That's the way. So really, just a second. So listen carefully on the Torah. A person, you know very well, for instance, in terms of the Rambam mentioned, I mean, this is the Chazal, nobody ever asked Diyah. There's no Issa Diyah. No Issa Diyah. It's not Shachiyah, right? So the Torah recognizes that a person has instinctual forces and he has a need. Okay? The only thing is that, like I mentioned before, the desire shouldn't be the thing that overcomes him, that overpowers him. It has to be guided by his sechel, right? When Yehuda decided to have an Osbia, so therefore he decided this is the right time, and that's it. A person after Matan Torah can't do it. Even though you'll tell me after Matan Torah, a person can have more Hanoah, more Taifa with it, a person who married to 20 wives after Matan Torah. So what's the difference? He makes Kedushin, he makes Asin, so why does he still have Taifa, right? The answer is, because after Matan Torah, this is the specific way of perfection. Kedem Matan Torah was left to him. So Yehuda didn't do an Avera, because Yehuda, that wasn't his way, is it? He had a right to do it that way. That's it. You understand what I mean? Lacha Matan Torah, you can't do it anymore. Lacha Matan Torah specifically this way. You understand what I mean? Okay. Now let's get back to this. Chayku Mishpat. That wasn't a chayt. That wasn't a chayt enough. But it wasn't a chayt enough.
Okay. Now, the only thing I want to tell you is that the chayt of living with the Zayah wasn't a chayt. He had a few perspectives, but it wasn't in the specific way. So each person chose his own way, according to his own needs. But Lacha Matan Torah, Lacha Matan Torah is this way, the Dachi. You can't change it.
As long as
he is. Any means he is. This is what he needs. That was it. Okay. That's it. He needed that. That was it.
Yes.
All right, now let's go back to it. So the thing is like this. Question is, what did Yesod say? Yesod like this. Take a look. Ish kisisrein chaloyman. Chaloyim haroi lepisorin shenichtalon. Yesod, the Sahamashkin was a very intelligent person. He told Paro like this. He says, you had a dream, and you don't know what it is, right? So you went to your chacham, and you went to your magicians, your interpreters, right? But he says, your interpreters, you see, I want you to understand something. It's not just Stamazay that Sahamashkin comes to Paro and says, I know this guy, and Paro says, go take this guy. So Sahamashkin had to tell Paro something. Paro wasn't a fool. We tend to think, because he lived so many years ago, he was a fool. Paro wasn't a fool. If you look at the civilization of the Egyptian civilization, if you study it, the tremendous chacham is just as smart as we are today. No difference. I didn't have the modern inventions. The person that puts on the television and sits and watches all the 4 hours is not a chacham. Anybody could do that. Not a chacham. He thinks the chacham was living in this year. So it's not a shaita. They were much more chacham. They were just as intelligent. The people knew then, just as a matter of fact, the Egyptian civilization was one of the longest, I think it was the longest civilization that there ever was. It was for thousands of years, 35 dynasties. 35 dynasties. Anyway, so they were no longer the fools. So Paroi, when he had a bad dream, he goes, I heard of this guy over there, bring him over. The Sahamashkin had to prove to him, had to tell him something which he understood, and he said, okay, now bring him on. He said, that's the guy I want. What did Sahamashkin say? The Torah tells him. Sahamashkin said like this. He said, you go to your people who interpret dreams. But do you know how they interpret dreams? How do they interpret dreams? When they hear the dream, they hear the dream, and then they say, this is the objective of the dream. They said, Sheva Bonos Yolid, Sheva Bonos Yomos. So why this dream? Why Afasaya are? Why these cows? Why does these eat up these? And why do they work out specifically this way? They can't tell you the specifics of the dream. They only understand, they'll tell you the objective of the dream. Could have 50 dreams with the same objective. You understand? He says, that's the way your Itzaginim work. That's the way your interpreters work. That's the way your Chatumel operates. This is what Saramashka says. He says, but I know somebody that interprets dreams totally different. Completely different. What's his way? Not only will he tell you the objective of the dream, but he'll show you why the dream had to be constructed that way. He'll show you the structure of the dream.
You understand what I mean? We'll show you why this detail and why that detail. You understand what I'm saying? That's not like Chayt. That's like what? Like Mishpat. You understand? So that's what he said. V'shami tanu nar ivri. I'm sorry. V'nachal machalam b'layla chor haniv hu. Ish kesis rein chalayma chalamnu. The dream fit the interpretation. In other words, if you know the interpretation, you'd be able to make the structure of the dream yourself. He'll show you exactly how the dream was structured. He'll show you why. He'll give you the pitch line, and once you'll see the ideas, you yourself will know how to put the dream together. So the Hawaiian follows what? In other words, if he shows you, he has total knowledge of Hawaiian. Who has total knowledge of Hawaiian? A person who can give you the whole structure of the dream. He'll give you all the ideas, and now we'll say, now we have the ideas, now you tell me exactly what must the dream be, and you'll be able to put the dream together. That's the main way of knowledge of dream. Sure. That's what the Talmud says. Yeah. Understand it? Yeah. Yeah. This way, Halayim al-Halamnu. Halayim, Halayim al-Tisraini. When you see the Tisraini, you'll know why the Halayim, this particular Halayim has to be for that Tisraini. To get these ideas across, you need this particular Halayim, not any other Halayim. Your Hashem, when they tell you to get to the Halayim, there's been a 50 Halayim into it. You understand what I mean? But over here, Yasif, when he interprets, he'll give you the interpretation, and you see why it's specific. It has to be this dream, this particular dream. The Halayim will be exactly in line with the Pitcher. The Pitcher will be able to explain to you the structure of the dream. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, you see the that's exactly the thing. By Chayt, a person can understand the Chayt. How does he understand it? When you give him the chayt, he understands exactly. Could he put the chayt together himself? He's lacking. That's what the chayt means. Mishpat means where a person can put it together himself. That's what he told him. He said, your chatumim operate like chayt. That's why they didn't give you the right reason. But if a person could show you, if you have a person that could show you the structure, then he has to be right. That's what he told Power. When Power heard that, the Power said, there's a person that can really understand the structure of the dream. That's the man I need, because now I'll know exactly what the dream is. Okay. Well, you need to